just a bloke in a bar.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to Packer Up Boys. Here we go, baby. Here we go. If you're driving home, make sure to stop in the Bottle-O, grab yourself a case of the beautiful... Woo! There it is. Oh, that goes down a treat. Brought to you by Bloke Beer. Get in your local, grab a case of Bloke Beer. Packer up, boys. Sandorell, he is currently moving to Sydney, so he is going to be ready to go next week. But I've got the great Matty the Waterboy with me here. How you going, brother?
I'm good. I'm definitely on more of a high than you are after Brisbane lost last night, but it was just such a roller coaster of 80 minutes. It was absolute pleasure to watch.
It was a gun game to watch. Also, don't forget, Packer Up Boys is proudly brought to you by Sportsbet. And I've got a bone to pick. The Matrix is against me. Matrix is against me. Sportsbet. The new feed gets announced. And in that same week, they put up an ad with Dan Gorringe.
Oh, no.
Basically, him trying to get followers on his feet. And I'm just a little cameo in it. And at the end of the ad, it gives his face to follow. So, guys, we're the little guy.
Yeah, what's going on?
Getting bullied around by Sportsbet internally. They're trying to juice his numbers up. We're trying to do it naturally, baby. We don't need no big machine behind us to get us numbers. We do it naturally, baby, because the community cares. So if you've been living under a rock, get around the battler. We're the battlers here. You know, they want to give him all these legs up, all these talk about. He's a Nepo baby of Sportsbet. That's what he is. Dan Gorringe, the Nepo baby of Sportsbet, getting ads in the same week that he announces it and tries to have a crack. And let's just remember, for the history books, I was just living my life. He just had a crack out of me out of nowhere.
Yeah, he started it.
So this is what we do. We end it. That's what we do here at Bloke. We don't start it, but we end it. Now, he may be a Nepo baby of Sportsbet. They might be trying to put ads up to try and induce his numbers up on their huge platforms. That's okay. Because you know what? I trust the Bloke community to get the job done. So make sure if you've got a Sportsbet, if you've got Sportsbet, open your app. You hit more, go to feed, give Beak a follow. You can see what I'm putting on. I had a cheeky little dabble at Broncos 13 plus just because I was feeling a bit toey last night. Didn't come off, but what an incredible game. Here's another one that I've got. Here's a cheeky one that I got on my feed, and this is very cheeky, very naughty. Obviously, guys, only gamble what you can afford, and, you know, just keep it low, pretty much. Keep it low, guys, what you can afford. So this is what I did. This is what I put together earlier this week, and this is juicy, baby. This is just one of the five bets that I've got on my feed currently, and the good thing about feed is you can look what I'm punting at, and you can copy the bet. And so, like, there are certain punts, 266 punters have copied one bet, 172 on the other. Anyway, this is what I did, a little cheeky one. You can go and see the other ones, but here's a little cheeky one for you. Dolphins against the Tigers, a galvanless Tigers. I'm going Dolphins to win, 11 to 15 margin.
Ooh.
So around that, you know, 12 to 14 point margin. Herbie Farmworth anytime.
Yep.
Jermaine Asako anytime. Guess what that's paying?
Oh, it'd be a fair bit.
35.
Yeah, right.
35. Herbie Farmworth, Jermaine Asako, anytime against the Tigers.
Yeah.
You lock that in.
Yeah.
You lock that
right
in.
Right side, they're going to.
They're going to kill it. Yeah. They're going to kill it. And then Dolphins, 11 to 12. Come on. They're going to win 15. By 12 to 14. Yeah. Surely. So there you go. And you just go to the feed. You give us a follow. And I've got a little description. Here's a description. After such a massive game against the Eels, Tigers may be a bit flat, especially without Galvin. Dolphins also at home. Katoa has looked fantastic. I'll be surprised if it isn't a high-scoring game.
Nice.
So give us a follow on feed, guys. Let's not look, the machine is behind Dan. The huge machine of Sportsbet, clearly they've identified their favorites, they've gotten around him, which is fine. That's okay. We love Sportsbet, and we understand sometimes in families there's favorites. That's okay. You know what we'll be? We'll be the little battler that gets the job done. He's going to be the pampered little Nepo baby that doesn't get the job done. We're going to be the battler that when we reach the heights, the tippity top, that's when daddy and mummy come back to us and go, you know what? You were always my favorite son. That's what's going to happen at Sportsbet. I just hate to say it. So let's get around it. Give us a follow on feed. Let's dominate this guy. How crazy is that? That he just gets a big ad with his face on it. Give him a follow.
It's
on
crazy.
Sportsbet.
It's madness.
Where's the fairness in that? Where's the fairness? There's no fairness. But you know what? We control the controllables, and that's just having a dig, ripping and tearing. And at the end of the day, we get the job done. So give us a follow on feed.
Can I just tell you? I sold my soul a little bit this week, betting on a little bet that I put on. I wasn't going to bring this up, but for some reason I've gone against that. I've actually gone Warriors 11 to 20 to win by 11 to 20.
Wow, what's that paying?
$5.40.
That's good.
I saw some really good value in that.
That's juicy. That is juicy. I'll give you that. That's worth that's betting with your head.
That's right. That's right.
I will say, actually, now that we're speaking of Rabbitohs versus Warriors, I've got an omen for you.
Okay.
I've got a fucking omen for you.
I hope it's a good one.
It's actually a positive omen.
Great.
Okay, so this is what it is. It's a video of my son resuscitating.
I did see this.
A fake bunny. See, there you go. Is that an omen for the Rabbitohs season? Is it an omen for the recovery of the Rabbitohs season? My son resuscitating their season.
When I saw that, that was my first and immediate thought.
Yeah. So look, if the bunnies turn it around this week,
I'll have rain to thank.
That's rain resuscitating their season. So there you go. There's an omen for you. Other than that, how you been, bro?
I'm good. It's you've been outside, right? It is absolutely torrential out there.
How did I get it?
Yeah, what a dumb thing to say. but all I'm seeing, I don't know who wrote it, but you saw the Bulldogs jersey yesterday.
It's hot.
Like, it's possibly the best Heritage jersey I've seen.
It's so friggin' hot.
It's funny.
Look, let's just fucking calm down a bit. The Broncos Heritage jersey this year, it was the best jersey.
You know what? And I'll tell you why I personally disagree. Because that was before my time. Whereas this Bulldogs, like Heritage jerseys,
it's
like
prime time.
The Eels last year is now, Heritage jerseys is my childhood. It just makes me feel really old, actually. Mm. But seeing that big, like obviously people more your age would like the Broncos one because that's what they grew up seeing.
See, I didn't really grow up seeing that because obviously I was.
That's a great point, yes.
But I like it because it's just so different. It shouldn't work.
No, it's terrible, but it's amazing.
Yeah, like so for example, imagine a modern jersey in different colours, dragons, whatever, had that pattern on it, you'd be like, that's disgusting. What I love about that jersey, for some reason, it just works.
Yeah, 100%. But anyway, what I was going to say was, I think I saw it on Punters and Dribblers, apologies, I forgot who posted it, but 20 years ago, the Doggies in that jersey beat the Roosters on a rainy day in 2004 grand final.
Yeah, okay. So that's why you love it so much.
Oh yeah, that's
so is that the best vintage jersey, a Heritage jersey you've seen so far?
Best one I've seen so far, I think so.
This year or ever?
I can't think of a better one.
What is the best jersey ever?
I like the Balmain Tigers, just the orange with the black V. Yeah.
Man, I like some of those Nike Bronx jerseys.
Yeah, they're great.
There's something about the 2006 I know it's obviously they won the premiership. There's something about that 2006 premiership jersey that I love to get around.
When it comes to Broncos jerseys, like when they bring that one back as a Heritage jersey, that's going to be elite.
Another one, though, that is like, actually, you know what? The hottest Broncos jersey ever, the Powers one.
Oh, yeah.
So hot.
Yeah.
That is so hot. Other teams, vintage. I mean, the Warriors black and grey one. That's sexy.
See, we were debating this up at Redcliffe. I think the Warriors should be black and white. That's how, again.
Black and white or black and grey?
Sorry, black and grey.
Yeah.
Because that's, again, that's what I grew up seeing. Yep. So I liked when they brought the blue and the colours back a few years ago, but it's kind of worn off of me now. But to be fair, I think I'm in the minority there. Everyone kind of loves the Warriors kids at the moment.
Man, some of the Warriors kids getting around like are unbelievable at the moment. Unbelievable. Let us know in the comment section, greatest jersey design of all time.
Yep.
Greatest jersey design of all time. I would love to know your answer to that. What else has been going on, bro?
Honestly, just plugging away, watching some rugby league. I tell you what, I am really keen for, I haven't thought in a while that I'd say I'm keen for a Knights versus Dragons game on Friday night. Because you never really see those teams play on a Friday night. It's a nice change, but.
You know what I reckon that is?
The rain, yeah.
I reckon that's the KP effect. I reckon because of his crazy run last year. Remember when Tom Trbojevic went on his run? And then the next year Manly
had all the 9 games.
Yeah. And so I reckon what they've done there has gone, you know, the Knights, frothing, KP's killing it. Mm. And so they've chucked the Knights on that night.
Good point.
I just think the start of this year has just been electric.
Yeah.
Like genuinely, some of the clashes, upsets galore. It's been incredible.
Well, the last two games, obviously last night, we'll get to it, but, you know, Kevin Walters and Craig Bellamy probably fuming, but everyone else absolutely adored it, all the neutrals. And then the game before that, Easter Monday, was just an instant classic. Like, you're right, the quality so far this year has been great and to be expected.
And what I like as well is, like, even the bottom, other than the Gold Coast Titans, even the bottom tier sides have managed to like either get close to or upset some of the top-ish tier sides. Whereas I feel like, you know, in years past, the bottom tier sides are just getting pounded every week.
Yeah.
Like off the bat. It's obviously outside of the Titans who have struggled dramatically. So it's been such a good year.
It's actually probably, it's probably only the Titans and I'd probably say South that have been disappointing so far when it comes to, you know, a bar that team is set. Like, for example, the Dogs spanked the Titans in a hectic game. Dragons won a couple games. Obviously, the Tigers. Everyone else has kind of had a really, really, or at least a solid win or two.
Like, it's just a good start. A decent start to the year. Exactly, like, even Knights have been a bit wishy-washy, but they did get the win over the Storm.
They beat Melbourne,
And there's, like, signs of, like, maybe it could work out, even though I'm a bit low on it at the moment, but nowhere near as low as... you know, the Titans. The Titans at the moment are in the
they're in,
league
they're in
of
trouble.
Their own when it comes to disappointing start to the season. But Lair last night, Storm defeat the Broncos 34-32. As a Broncos fan, it's like one of those tough ones to swallow because you part of you's going, mate, what an effort. Like no Piacora, no Willison, no Haas, Reynolds for half a game, no Walsh. So it's five in the starting 17 that we didn't have. And so you go, incredible effort. But the other side is like, what a missed opportunity. Like that, if we had a, you know, that we bombed the Katoni Stags one, we bombed the Jesse Arthurs ones, we bombed. If we had to nail those tries, obviously we win. But I look at it more like, you know what? If we had gone down there with a full strength side and lost by 2 points, most people would be like, yeah, that's okay. Storm or a premiership threat. To go down there and do that with all the adversity that we face, I'm stoked with it.
Especially at halftime. Like, I know you were up at halftime by 18, I think.
18-16 or something.
But the fact that Reynolds went off, I was looking at TV thinking, well, Reynolds has been the best player on the field so far. Mm. Well, in my opinion, he was. Mm. So Broncos are gone here. And not only were they not gone, they pretty much led the rest of the half. And now, unfortunately for the Broncos, end up losing. But I thought the second half was a great effort.
Yeah, I thought Ezra Mam easily had his best game of the year. He was outstanding. Ben Tacora, how exciting is he?
Oh, mate.
Like, so he comes on in his debut against the Melbourne Storm. So we're not talking about, you know, a lower tier side. We're not talking about a side that's a top tier side, but it's not the best defenders. We're talking about, like, you know, one of the better defenders in the competition teams-wise. He came on in 24 minutes. Obviously had that try, which is outstanding. 12 runs, 115 metres, 49 post contact, 3 tackle breaks, a line break, 8 tackles, only 2 misses, no errors. I think he's still a teenager, or if he's
not, he's 19.
He's 19. That is unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
Unbelievable. And what I loved about his performance is like real simple. Really, he ran hard, he tackled hard.
Exactly.
Didn't try to get crazy offload or anything like that. And I think that for him, just you don't want to get, you know, it could be easy for him to come in and he has a game like that. And then you get a little bit ahead of yourself and you go, well, geez, like, you know, I killed it. Now I'm going to start adding offloads. Now I'm going to start trying to do all this extra stuff. I think for him, it's like, mate, that's the blueprint for you now. Just run hard, tackle hard. Don't worry about all that other stuff. And by the end of the year, you'll easily have a starting
Well, that's how he got his try.
Yeah.
He just ran hard.
Yeah. And what I loved about that as well is before, like, the play got set up, he was doing that. Like, so that wasn't a set play. That was a reaction to the dummy half going under. And he just went, boom, just got it done. So I thought he was outstanding. On the Storm side, Jerome Hughes.
He was my man of the match.
He was electric. Yeah. Him and Katoa, outstanding performance. And, you know, the funny thing is you actually look at that spine of Grant, Hughes, Munster and Papinhausen. They haven't played together since 2022.
Yeah, I'm guessing it was the game Pappy got injured.
So that's the scary thing with the Storm is like we haven't seen their spine for essentially the whole season. Mm. That was the first game together. And look how electric they look like. Harry Grant out of dummy half.
Oh.
It's every time. He gets you every time.
Yeah.
It's just like constantly putting pressure on the middle defenders, constantly making the right decision. He very rarely stuffs it up. Pappy around the ruckers was dangerous as well. Munster, good return game. Yeah. Like, did his job.
There was no communication rust, was there? They were just all in sync.
Just, yeah, their ability, when they get a quick play of the ball, they just go boom. Oh. They just go. You know, outstanding stuff from the Storm. And if I'm being honest, I actually thought the Broncos were the better side. Now, that's probably bias, but the Storm just hang in there. They just hang in there. They keep in touch. And they played probably safer footy. And then they had big moments. So, like, as in, when I say better side, apologies. What I mean is like when you consider how many players were out and then you consider basically full strength outside of Nelson, you'd have to say like Broncos at full strength would have been the better, would have probably won, would have most likely been in the best position to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, I'd even say if Reynolds didn't get injured, they probably win the game.
Or at least they put themselves in a better position. Correct, you just never know what's going to happen in a game.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's what's exciting for the Broncos. But at the end of the day, if you're the Storm, you can only play what's in front of you. You can only play what's in front of you. And also, they were missing Nelson Sofa-Solomona, who we know is such an important part of their side. And on top of that, like, you know, with the Storm, a lot of the tries scored against them were so good. It's like, look, if you can score those tries, sweet, fine. Because we know, if you're from the Storm's perspective, we know that 9 out of 10 sides are never going to score tries like that against us. Like that was just a freak, like a freak kind of 80 minutes where everything seemed to come off for the Broncos. Got some lucky calls as well. I mean, there were tough calls against Broncos too, but they also got some lucky calls against them, as in for them. The Broncos and the Storm got harsh calls against them. And so the way I go out of that match is like a lot of people go, oh, the coaches will be a bit disappointed with how many points scored. Maybe they will. I personally, I'm not, because look at the incredible tries. Okay, Xavier Coates. Who's stopping that?
Yeah, nah.
Like what could Dean Manor have done?
When the ball went up, I was like, fuck, game over. Who's going to stop him?
Game over. Then the other try where he kicked it through, incredible.
Mm.
So who's, like, again, that's just something that, like, pretty much Xavier Coates and very few other people can do. So from the Broncos' perspective, you're going, you know what? That's about 12 points that you just go, you chalk it up to these things happen.
Yeah.
And then from the Storm side, the Jesse Arthurs kick back in, the Ezra Mann, you know, yes, you probably could have, you've got to catch that on the full. That's terrible, like really poor from Warbrick. But the bounce did land exactly where he needed it to land. And so I just...
Mann's first try was just incredible. Like, it was like you can defend it, sure, but it was just brilliant from the Broncos.
Yeah, like, and so you're going into week in, week out footy, that's not going to happen every single week for both teams. And so I think the takeaway I have from that game is Penrith are, you know, head and shoulders the number one team in the comp right now. But I think that Panthers and Storm are also on another level right now. Like right now, the premiership threats for me is Penrith, Melbourne, Broncos.
Yeah.
That's like out and out, like who I would lock in to right now if there was a grand final, like if there's a final series played right now, two of those three teams would be in the grand final.
Yeah, no question for me too, yeah.
Now, like, there's still a premierships outside of that, but they're just, like, obviously down the pecking order. How good's Katoa been? That's another example. Okay, so the one try where Mann made a bad read, yes, that is something that you should be able to stop. But the other one where he got bumped by Katoa, it's like, that's just good.
That's a
great line by a massive back rower. You know, that's what else could Ezra Mann do there? He put his body in front. He got bumped. The only time I get frustrated when tries are scored like that is if the player doesn't try at least to put his body in front.
Mm.
If he tries and he gets bumped, it's like, that's footy.
Whatever.
That's rugby league. So really, really good performance by both teams, to be honest. I thought the Storm were outstanding and I thought the Broncos were really good as well.
It's crazy how, like, 15 minutes into the game, if you said the final score is going to be 36 or 34 to 32, you think you were crazy. Yeah. That first 15 minutes was the best 15 minutes of the year so far. Well, so yeah, definitely the best 15 minutes of footy I've seen this year. And it was nil all. And then the floodgates just opened.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. It was a pleasure to watch.
It's so good. And like Hughes, just reminding
Hughes
everyone,
you know,
he is a freak. And he often gets left out of the best halfbacks in the competitions.
Yeah.
You know, I guess discussions.
It's crazy to think that he was a fullback just 4 or 5 years ago.
I tell you what though, if he was eligible for Origin, it would be Hughes Cleary in the halves, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how good he is.
Yeah.
And could you imagine him outside Cleary with that running game that he has?
Far out.
Be scary as. And so I think it's just that typical, we speak about it all the time. If you don't play Origin, you just don't get the same hype as
Absolutely.
Other people. But Hughes is a top three halfback in the game.
Definitely.
Like I personally think he's a top three halfback. Obviously, when he's in form, he's a top three halfback.
Yeah.
And this year, he's in form. Last year, he was a bit down. This year, he is absolutely in
form. That 2021 year, I think it was, that he got his flowers that year, I will say. Like everyone was like Cleary and then Hughes.
Yep.
But a couple of, not off years, but quieter years, people kind of forget. And you're right, Origin... If you don't play Origin, you just get forgotten about like that.
Which sucks. Yeah, you know? And that's why we need more games for the Kiwis.
Yeah.
So that the Kiwis can get the proper respect that they deserve as like top tier players. Like I think they do to the core audience like us, but maybe the wider, more casual audience, just because it's like they don't get Origin. From the Storm perspective, Xavier Coates, what a start to the year.
It's
holy.
It's got to a point now where, back to sports bet, I think every time Storm play at Amy Park, I'm just going to get on him.
Just get on
him. He's paying $2. It's just... I looked at the start, I'm like, all right, that's free. That's
yeah, he's genuinely like really setting the tone for basically the big winger in the competition this year of like, you know, being so well-rounded, like so well-rounded. And also the multiple crossfield kicks now that he's kind of set up. Like I really think that he's finally starting to hit his straps club-wise. I think there's like a year or two where he's a little bit quiet.
Well, when he signed and he didn't explode straight away, everyone's kind of like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But now he's really hitting his straps.
Mate, really, really hitting his straps. He was outstanding. Katoa, we've already spoken about him. I thought Bloor was pretty good. I thought Howarth was good when he came on.
It was good to see Howarth.
Yeah, there absolutely. And he looks physically imposing.
He's so big.
He's big, man. Like... Geez, he reminds me of Angus Crichton.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievably. Really, really good win for the Storm. Just a mixture of like gutsiness, but also just flair.
Yeah.
Like, just incredible.
Even though Munster, he didn't do much, but just you could see his presence was felt out there.
Yeah.
Like, every time he touched the ball, something was going to happen. They all had his eyes on him. He's a big in for Melbourne, obviously.
Yeah, and they're like, he's just going to get better and better each week. He looks fit too. So really good win from the Melbourne Storm, and they're a premiership threat this year. Imagine when Nass gets put back in this side.
Mm.
Far out. And also they've gone from a bit light on in the pack to Bloor played well, Howarth played well, Chance still out, he could come back in.
Yep.
Things are looking really good for the Storm. Things are looking really, really good. In regards to the Broncos, obviously the Jesse Arthurs drop ball, massive drop ball, you know. You gotta nail that. He had such a good game. Like frustrating for him. He was so good. And that one little thing. So on Cobbo.
What about Cobbo's, just before the penalty goal when he made the break down the left and just no look, bang. It didn't lead to a try or anything, but
it should have. It really should have. And even just the smoothness when he hits that outside line and he just throws that fend out, and it's like he just swatted Meany away like he was nothing. Mm. Like it didn't look like he was trying too hard. So on Cobo, he's something special, something incredibly special.
It's good to see that he just he injects himself into the game, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he
backs himself,
which is what you want
every time. The Wishart try, that was probably my most disappointing thing of the night with the Broncos. That was Fletcher Baker and Ricky. You cannot be, I mean, you know, obviously it happened, but as two forwards allowing a utility to bump over you like that on the line, it's just, unfortunately, it's just unacceptable.
I mean, when it was Wishart, I was like, is that actually Wishart?
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, he didn't score. And then you're like, oh my God, he did. Score. That's ridiculous.
Unfortunately, it's just unacceptable on your line. And little moments like that, even though they all played so well for the 80 minutes or the 79 minutes or whatever you want to say, That is letting your teams down, because you're a big body on your line and he's running straight at you. You should pick him up and drive him back. Mm. And that's just a lapse of concentration. That's the lapse of you're on your line. You should be thinking, I need to win this contact rather than I'm just going to catch this guy. Now, fair enough, if it was over a half or it was on the edge, but that's a fronty and a back rower getting steamrolled by and the problem is only a few weeks ago on that same edge, To'o did a similar situation over four players. So that's just little tiny things where, like, hopefully those little tiny things are ironed out by the end of the year, because unfortunately, Fletcher Baker has been a part of two of them. So he's just got to clean that up. He's just got to clean that up because he does so many good things. Like, he played really well last week and, he worked his butt off this week. He just got to fix those little lapses in judgment. Because that's all it takes. Boom, that's the match winner.
Yeah.
That's the game lost. You know, and the same with Jesse Arthur. It's like, he had an incredible game, but it's just that little lapse of confidence. As a winger, that's your job to finish that. So, you know, it's not like the worst situation ever. It doesn't mean they played poorly overall. It's just tiny lapses in concentration that separate the best of the best from almost.
So it's funny. I actually think the Stags one was the opposite of a lapse in concentration. I thought... the play before that, he had three things in his mind and he probably just tried to do all of them and got caught. That was That was very unfortunate. I kind of felt sorry for Stags for that one.
Yeah. See, I'm a bit less forgiving. Stags is an experienced campaigner. You have to ice that.
Mm.
He has been there and done that. So, like, as I said, you can look at the negatives of those things, but that's just purely concentration because we've got the talent. We show it on the game. So it's just about building into the year. It's, as I said, it's not like terrible. Like, yep. How dare they? It's just like those key tiny moments are just the thin line between almost and what an incredible win.
Yeah.
Because imagine they won that game.
Oh.
Like, it's like you went down a storm with all these players missing and you. So.
Oh, we'd be sitting here going, Broncos amazing. Are on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I tend to look at it like I'm extremely excited. Watching the Broncos play like that with all those players out, man, when I they get their players.
Great signs.
Like, when they get them back, oh my God.
Tell you what, in a true indication of that missed tackles don't actually mean it as much as what they should, as what people say, last night had less missed tackles than the 8-0 Storm Panthers game.
Wow. That's crazy. That is crazy. Now, don't forget, Menu Log, hungriest player, it is RTS. Use the code RTS for $7 off pizza this week. Also, our Musashi code is BLOKE35 to get 35% off Musashi products, excluding bundles. And the LDV T60 Power Play of the Week was Tom Dearden for his ridiculous chase on Selwyn Cobbo. The LDV T60 has 160 kilowatts of grunt, making it one of the most powerful utes in its class. Now, New South Wales halves crisis. Moses not back till round 12, so just one game just before Origin 1. Reynolds, Dunny's hammy. Cleary is back in 2 weeks, but he should be fine. It is getting a bit like, ooh, you know.
I mean, if the team was picked tomorrow.
You'd be stuffed.
Yeah.
Who takes that six? Like Cleary, I think you know he's going to be fine. Locked in. But who takes that six jersey now? It does put a lot of questions there.
Well, I was with you. At the start of the year, everyone fit. I'm probably going on form as well. I'm probably going Mitch Moses.
Mm.
At the start of the year, I would have definitely been Cody Walker, but he's not really in form. So I'd probably go Moses, Cleary. But now that Moses,
if you're Hines.
Yeah, Nico Hines.
If you're Hines, you're sitting there going, what an opportunity to get that six jersey.
For sure.
And that's his position. We know he can play six. He can obviously play fullback as well. Hines at six could be pretty scary.
Well, I think Hines and Cleary as a combo, they complement each other perfectly.
I think so too, because then Hines doesn't have to worry about kicking, organising, anything. He just goes, Cleary, tell me where you want me to be. And you basically got like a really good fullback at six.
Exactly right. Yeah.
That if he needs to pick up the slack, kicking wise or whatever, he can.
Yeah.
So right now, if I was to select, it would be Hines Cleary.
Yep.
But I guess it all just depends on, you know, one game before Origin with Moses.
I couldn't give Moses one game.
He needs more than one game, you reckon? Surely.
And like Hines is playing, I know he's leading Dally M's, everyone's making a joke out of it, but he's still playing, he's playing good.
Yeah, he had one really bad game.
Yeah.
But he was obviously good last week and good the weeks before. Yeah, it's tough for New South Wales. Lockie Galvin, get him in there, you reckon?
Oh, Jesus.
Could you imagine?
We would as well. It's something New South Wales, just a dumb thing New South Wales would do.
Put all this pressure on this young fellow. Yeah,
like Jared Mullen back in the day and Pierce.
Raiders re-signed Timoko. He's re-signed till the end of 2026. You know, we spoke about it maybe last week.
It was after the Warriors game. So, yeah.
Last week, so... Yeah, look, I expected this. It's good for Timoko. It's good for the Raiders. And, like, they would have been crazy to let him go to the open market. Mm. Absolutely crazy. And just smart. Smart from the Raiders. And it hasn't got a figure here, so I'd assume it didn't break the bank.
Yeah, because the Raiders kind of announced it, I haven't really seen a figure floating around.
It's great stuff. So as a Raiders fan, you're sitting there going, you know, that's a strike center that probably would have had a lot of other clubs interested. That's going, no, I want to stay here. That's a good sign of club culture.
Yeah, I'm stoked that the Raiders are able to keep him. Geez, they've lost some players just in the last 15 years. They just keep losing players, so they couldn't afford to lose him.
No way. Oh, man, if they lost him. And so it's really, really good signing, like a really good signing. It's a sign of a really good club culture. The fact that it didn't drag on, the fact that we weren't in the media going, oh, this is club's interested, that's club's interested, it just got done.
Yeah.
Quietly. And as I said, we're not talking about he's a pretty good centre for down there. We're talking about one of the better centres in the competition and a current New Zealand centre.
And it's not like he's off contract this year. Like, he doesn't go to open market till November 1. So yeah, they've wrapped this up really, really nicely.
Really, really nicely. And, like, that's, you know, the Raiders, they struggle to get people to come to the club. But when it comes to running and keeping players, this is what you want. You don't want noise around it. You want the guy to be like, yeah, I don't want to speak to anyone else. I want to stay. So very, very good stuff from the Raiders.
I can't believe that it's round 5 and I'm genuinely looking forward to Raiders games.
Yeah,
as it is, like, I can't wait for Raiders Eels. They're like, they're not the most exciting team, but I feel something when I watch them.
Yeah,
you know, like, yeah, they just rip in.
I love watching the Raiders play. I love them because they're always underdogs. Yeah, great stuff for the Raiders. Really, really exciting. Now onto the Doggies Roosters. Doggies paying $385. Roosters $126. Jesus,
$126.
Who have you got this game?
I got Roosters. If it was dry, I'd say Roosters 13 plus. I still think Roosters might win 13 plus. Their four pack is considerably better, but you never know in the rain. Anything can happen.
You never know. Really important game for the Roosters. I think they need to put on a really good, solid win performance.
Yeah.
Had a great start to the year. Then they've been a bit up and down. Then they go and towel the Rabbitohs up, but that was with a different halves combination and also Rabbitohs, how good are they really? Yeah.
And it's the game that they always get up for. So, like,
hard to take much out of it. Whereas if they go out and dominate the Bulldogs, it's like, yep, okay, this is a good start to the year. That's 3 from 6 then, or 3 from 5, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, if they lose this, so it's like 2 from 5 and it's the Dogs. So if they go out and do this and do it well, then you're like, yep, Roosters, great start to the season. I think they get the job done.
I think Brandon Smith's going to have a big say today, like, considering how wet it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Newey Knights versus St. George. Jeez, I'm these odds of 273 for the Dragons, like, I'm not so confident on the Knights.
I was on the Knights, and then I was 50-50, and then I heard that Tyson Frizzell got ruled out, so I'm changing my tip to the Dragons.
Yeah. Look, I'm head-to-head, I'm going Knights, but there's a bit of value. The St. George are paying $8.50 for 13+.
Wow.
Like, I'm not, like, 13+ is obviously, not saying that will most likely happen, but... Mm. 850 is juicy ass.
That's big dollar. Yeah.
I got on 13 plus for the Dragons at 775 or something like that.
Was that against the Titans?
No, I got them like for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And also I got them for the Titans as well. And so with the Dragons, I'm like, they're so hit or miss. You just don't know.
Oh, so they've gone up.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
850.
Jeez, I thought that would have come in.
Maybe the weather. Yeah. Mate, 850 for 13 plus, and you don't know what Dragons are going to turn up?
Yeah.
It could be the world beater Dragons.
If it's the world beater Dragons, a team with Ben Hunt, they've got points coming out of their ass if the good Dragons turn up.
850, so look, it will probably sound silly. Knights will probably go out there and win 13 plus, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, can I have someone to comment at 10:30 tonight?
Yeah, after the game. Hey, if you disagree with this, comment now. And then you know what? I'll respect it. If you go, that's the worst take ever... Again, the take isn't that they're going to win 13 plus. The take is $8.50 is juicy as fuck for 13 plus.
Yep.
But if you comment now saying that's terrible chat and it turns out to be true, then you go, you know what? I respect that because you said it before the game.
Correct.
If you come in the comment section after the game, you're a coward.
That's coward
rhetoric. Waiting till the game finishes to be like, you idiot, you said this before the game. Well, where were you then, bros?
Yeah.
If you were listening before the game, you could have commented before the game. So I got nothing but respect that someone says before the game they have a hard stance. I go, you know what? I respect the shit out of that. And you know what? You were right. And I was wrong. And that was a stupid take. But you don't get the stupid take. I don't exceed a stupid take if you do it after the game. South Sydney Rabbitohs, Warriors. I'm really liking the Warriors in this one, to be honest.
Yeah. As a South fan, I'm pretty concerned. Just the Warriors forward pack just scares the Jesus out of me, especially Adam Fanua Blake. If it rains tomorrow, I'm a bit concerned. Obviously, I hope everything I say right now is completely wrong and they put on a good show, which it's funny. Last year, they had a terrible run, but they had one really, really good game, and that was against the Warriors last year in New Zealand.
That rain game.
So they can do it, and we know that what they're capable of. They just haven't shown it in so long, so that's why I'm tipping the Warriors, but let's go South.
Okay, Manly versus Panthers. I'm going Panthers here.
Yeah, I think Panthers, what is it, $1.65? I think that's really
good. Scary game for Manly because it's a really, depending how you look at it, it's a massive opportunity. If they go out in there and beat the Panthers, season completely back on track. Like, yep, if they go out there and beat the Panthers, or even if they get close, it's like, yep, the Manly Sea Eagles have started the year really well. It's confirmed. If they go out there and get pumped, it's like, ooh, shit. Like,
I wonder how they're going to approach it because Scope brought up yesterday that fuck it game where it looked like it was working, but obviously you know, saying we're not going to get an arm, we're not going to win an arm wrestle.
I don't like that.
Yeah. But so are they going to, surely they don't take the same approach this game, or will they? Who knows?
Surely not. Surely not.
You'd hope not.
Dolphins, Tigers. I like the Dolphins here.
Dolphins, great value here.
Without Galvin, I just don't know if the Tigers will be able to. Galvin's been their key.
Mm.
They've been great, gritty, but I just reckon Dolphins at home.
Yeah. And mate, the Wayne Dolphins, they've had a couple of, they had a shocking first week, but they've been half decent since then. Like they smoked the Dragons. What was that other game? I can't even remember, but they've been good. Oh, the Titans, yeah. Mm. I know, you know, bottom-ish teams, but yeah.
Cowboys, Gold Coast. I think the Cowboys rip and tear. Yeah,
worried.
Very concerned for the Titans. Yeah. I don't see, yeah.
It, like, especially that the Cowboys are so bad last week. Mm. Like, they're going to want to bounce back. Yeah. It's, yeah.
Raiders, Eels. I'm going Raiders, but I think this is going to be a cracking match.
Can't wait for this game. Normally, I hate the Sunday 6 p.m. game, but this is a cracker. I'm going Raiders just because Moses is out.
Don't forget, you can watch all games on KO. So make sure all the games we just talked about, sign up to KO, give them a watch. Plus, there's a bunch of other content on KO. It is the most rugby league content you can find on the interweb. So sign up to KO, watch rugby league. Ice hockey fight. In our NHL clash between New York Rangers and New York Jersey Devils erupted in a brawl in the first few seconds of the game. As soon as the puck was dropped, every player from each team except goaltenders started punching on with each other. There was 5 one-on-one punch-ons. All 10 players received 5-minute penalties. Video below. I watched this on the internet before on the Instagrams. That's great stuff.
I love it. It's like old school. Ice hockey is just like old school rugby league where there was just fuck it, like just punching on with each other.
Let's just punch on. Let's punch on, baby. Like, let's just do it. I love the fact that there was just a gentleman's agreement too.
Yeah.
5 one-on-ones.
Like, it was clearly planned. Like, the puck got dropped and they all just went hell for leather.
It's like, I love the honor in the whole situation. 5 one-on-ones. So it wasn't like just a brawl where, you know, people are pulling each other and someone might have 2-on-1 or 3-on-1 or 3-on-2. It was generally like, you got you. All right, let's punch on. And then we settle it up.
That's it. And then 4 of the 5 kind of like petered out a little bit. But then the main two just kept going and everyone just kind of stopped and watched.
That's the best. That's great stuff.
I love it.
Don't forget, every time your team wins, you get a free grilled burger the Monday after the game. Head to the link in the show notes and follow the prompts, which include picking a footy team, signing up to the grilled loyalty program called Relish. Then when your team wins, you get 2-for-1 burger voucher to use on the following Monday. Make sure, I think this maybe over soon, promotion on Bloke.
Yes.
Couple weeks. Hit the link because it might be over soon unless we extend. Hit the link, sign up for your chance to win a 2-for-1 voucher with Grilled every Monday. That is us done and doosted as usual. Oh, make sure to grab a case of Bloke beer from your local. Also, make sure it takes literally 2 seconds. Go to feed, give us a follow. Let's show them what we're made of. And also, you can abuse me if you get on any punts that I get on. You can go, mate, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. I got on it and it was terrible. Or you can ride the winds with me. Anyway, as usual, I'll go and fuck myself. Thank you.
Imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.